Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Happy July
The
4th.
summer's here. Yes, happy July 4th.
Thank you.
This is a big day in our country.
It is.
A big, big thing. And I've got all kinds of flags, banners, I've got it all.
Well, as we should. We were talking about that the other day, about how we were starting to see some of the flags go up, the banners go up. And I remember back into, what was it, 1976, when we had the bicentennial, and it just seemed like everybody had those styrofoam hats with like the red, white, and blue stripe on them. And there were, shirts and clothes that had red, white, and blue all over them. It was all over the place. And this is the next big birthday since that one. So
And
it's a big
this is the
year.
big one. This is the big one.
Yeah.
250 years.
That's cool. Really
It is.
cool.
And everybody I know has gotten flags. They've got the banners out. They've got the little flags on the ground. And my neighbors were ahead of me, but mine hadn't come in. So mine didn't come in till the middle of the week, but I got them out very quickly.
I remember, didn't you say, what was it, last week or the week before that it was last week because you said you hadn't ordered them yet, and I'm like, there's only like a week left and you got them in time. So
I got them on time. I got on it right away.
good.
I thought I had another week. I wasn't thinking about what day it was. And so I was behind. But anybody that said they couldn't ship right away, I discarded them. And anybody that said they could ship in 3 days, I was on it.
Yeah, there you go. It kind of defeats the purpose if you can't ship right
Yeah,
away.
some of them said that you'd get it on the 7th and 8th. I said, well, that will defeat this purpose.
Yeah.
We've got to have it by the 4th. In fact, we should have it way before the 4th.
Exactly. Yeah, it's that would be almost like putting up your tree on a Christmas tree on December 26th. It's kind of pointless
That's
after
right.
that.
It wouldn't matter at that point.
No.
But mine say, happy 250th anniversary. A lot of them have other things on them about the anniversary, about our country. And they have the right amount of stars. It's all very good.
It is. It is. And there's a certain amount of pride that comes from, seeing the flag and then especially this year with all the big 250 marks all over everything. It's just
That's right. And the fair in
yeah.
Washington, I mean, in a lot of places they're having fairs. A lot of people had already had the fireworks. They had them a week early.
I know it.
I was getting ready for the 4th and the fireworks, and some of them said, it'll be tonight, it'll be tonight. I'm going, oh my gosh, how can they get ahead of themselves?
I know.
We're ready for the 4th, but I wasn't ready for,
Not that early.
25th or 23rd,
Yeah. We around, I don't know, it might have been Tuesday or Wednesday this past week. We heard a couple of booms outside, and I thought, oh my God, what is that? Is that gunfire? And
Oh
she's
my
like,
gosh.
no, it's fireworks. I'm like, this early? I'm like, they're not gonna have anything left by the time we get to
That's
Saturday.
right. Everybody's gonna have all the balloons busted, everything, the fireworks won't be a dadgum stick of firework anywhere.
Yeah. It'll all be blown up before then. So I'm
And that
surprised. I'll be shocked if those people that were blowing them off on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll be surprised if they have anything left for tonight.
They probably won't. But now the other thing is, Gracie the giraffe got loose here,
Uh-oh.
and she was on the run for 2 weeks. And they finally found Gracie. Now she's back where she ought to be in the sanctuary. But can you believe a giraffe getting loose and running around town?
I know it. I saw that. I say, how did what? Who left
I don't know. Probably
the
some kid.
gate
But somebody left the gate open. Gracie got out. Nobody could find her, as tall as she was. I was shocked that nobody could find her.
Yeah, how do
And
you
she
not
was
see
out for
something that
two
big?
whole weeks. I
Woo!
mean, how can you miss a giraffe?
I know. It's not like a giraffe even blends in. So, I mean, it's
No.
big, it's tall, you're gonna see it, and there it is. How many people
And
can,
they
stand
had
in
on all the
the
news channels. They were offering a reward, everything, trying to get her back.
Yeah. I'm like, is this real or is this pretend? And then it was real.
It was real. They were begging for somebody to help get Gracie home.
Yeah.
It's just like everything else. Only in Texas, folks.
I know it. There's something you don't hear every day. I almost thought, well, this is almost like something that happens at your house.
Because... That's right. It could have if I had one. You can bet on it. Oh, my gosh.
Woo. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right. So one of the big highlights from this week, what's going on?
Well, we're doing a policy. It's $1 million. We're on it. We're sending out lists for people to invest in it. It seems like a pretty good policy. It's 36 months. And we're on it and send it out to people for their review.
Cool. I mean, $1 million, that's a big one. That's a really big one.
That's right. And then we've got another one we're working on. It's only 24 months. We're working on that one. But this one we've already bought and we're trying to finish up.
Which one, the $1 million or the?
The $1 million. We've already bought it. It's ours. And we're trying to get everybody in it.
Oh,
it won't take very many people. I think it takes 10.
Oh, well, that's I'm kind of surprised it's not already full.
Well, we just started. I mean, give me a day at least.
of course, my bad.
Well, you know, we've had four big policies mature. And the one we talked about the other day, the $3 million one, it should be in the bank next week.
Great. That's fantastic.
It is. We've already got everything. The death certificate is in. They've got the letter of acknowledgement from us, and they said it would pay next week.
Great. It's a really fast process.
It is. It didn't used to be, but it is now.
Yeah.
And then several others should be getting their checks in the next 2 weeks. Because there's $4 million out altogether.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And this one is three, and the others altogether are $1 million.
Wow. You know, I don't know how to say this in a positive way, but it's almost like Christmas when people start, you know, when multiple policies mature at the same time and it all comes in relatively at the same time, maybe a week or two difference, but all comes in at the same time. It's almost like, I don't want to say feast or famine, but I mean, it's like to get a chunk with that many people. It's almost like, okay, here's a big chunk. Go ahead, reinvest it. And it seems like the opportunities seemingly are coming along.
Well, two or three of these were early.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, one of them was supposed to be in, I think, 2 years, and it came in 17 months.
Oh, my
word. I think when the other ones came in just a few months.
Oh, wow.
And then when the people said it should be a week, and we should have our money, I was impressed. I was glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Speedy payout is always a good thing. And it maybe just how I'm looking at it, or maybe I'm, I don't know. But it seems like as people are getting paid, all of a sudden there are new policies, good policies that are coming in to reinvest in. So it seems like the timing almost lines up perfectly.
It has its time. It's really been fantastic because everybody's getting their money. It's a lot of money. That one paid 40%. So they've got several policies they're getting paid on, and some people are getting more than one. That's when you really rake in the cash.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've tried to crystallize our thoughts with that over the time, but I don't know that we've actually been able to convey how that works. And I think this situation perfectly illustrates that the more policies that people are in, the more that mature. And so the more that mature, the more policies you can get in, which means the more that mature. And then the cycle keeps going. And that's how I think your most successful investors have really made the most out of life settlements.
I think so, too, because The ones now from like 22 and 23, they're paying off better, faster, and they're more accurate. So we're doing better on the newer policies right now because they're all coming due.
Yeah. So like they're coming in. It seems like they're coming in more accurately, closer to the actual LE date, if not earlier. And it seems like the payouts are faster than they used to be. Kind of like you were saying before, it's much more of a streamlined, quick process once the policy matures to get paid. So those two things combined, it seems just like more money faster, which means you can reinvest more quicker.
That's right. And if you're making more money faster, it's a better situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the whole goal. I mean, that's the whole reason you even bid on the policies that you do, because you're not looking for, you know, people just casually selling their policy that may come in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. The whole point is to get faster maturities, which means faster payouts. And it just seems like it's just getting better by default almost.
That's right. And everybody likes payday. Everybody likes to be told the money's in the bank. And we love that. When we say, okay, the money is going into your account tomorrow, they can verify the next morning. It's there.
Yeah, it's there. And payday is fayday.
And, you know, we had a lady this week, and I felt sorry for her, really. She had a policy come due last year. And, you know, Nevada Trust put the cash in her account, just like they always do. And she wrote a letter this week and said, what happened to my money? I never did get it. Now, do these people never look at their account to see if the money's there? I mean, we had Nevada Trust make a copy of when she got paid, the day, and when it went in her account, and sent it to her and said, ma'am, somehow you didn't look at your account. And we told her what day it went in to her bank account. All she had to do was go online and look it up. I don't know, maybe she couldn't use a computer. That's possible.
It's very possible, yeah.
Maybe that's why she didn't think she got paid.
And when people, so kind of review the process, because I don't want to just assume anything, but when a policy matures, what happens as far as like notifications in the process and things
okay.
like that?
Okay, first of all, we write them a note and send it to them and say, okay, XYZ policy has matured as of this day. We will let you know when the death certificate gets to the company. So then we send them a deal and say, the death certificate is in. You'll be paid like maybe a week or whatever it is. Then we say, okay, the money is at Nevada Trust. They'll put the money in your account tomorrow. You'll see it the following day.
Wow.
So we notify them two or three times when they have a maturity. First of all, we tell them you have had one. Then we say they're getting the death certificate. Then we say it'll be in your account tomorrow. Look at your account.
And that's...
So it's pretty simple.
It sounds like it's pretty straightforward. You send out that note that you send people, that's an email, right?
That's right. All of this is email because we want a record of it.
Oh.
So first we send them the note and say, you have a maturity. And here it is. And we tell them which policy, how much they've made, the whole deal. Then when we know that it's on its way, we send them a deal and say, okay, here's what you made. Here's how much extra interest you're getting. This is the day it's going in. This is what your total income will be off this. This is what you made.
Okay.
So they can't miss it.
And apparently they can.
Well, yeah, I guess that's right. The lady did miss it in spite of everything. But, I don't know why.
And the reason I ask is because it seems like sometimes you'll, like you've got a great policy that you've bid on and are awarded and you're filling it, you'll send out emails and people sometimes miss them. And it seems like it's just because people are busy or they don't check their email or they glossed over something or deleted it without knowing what it was. Or there's all kinds of things that that people do, but sometimes they don't always check their email. So it is important to, you know, especially when you've got that many communications going out for good news, you're getting paid. You know, it's something that people really want to pay close attention to.
And now a lot of people, when we send them a deal and say, you have a maturity, they acknowledge it. They go to their email, they read it, and they say, thank you.
Oh.
But it depends if they're paying attention.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You know?
I delete emails all the time that I think are something else, and it's actually
you needed
important.
It after all. Yeah.
I did. Yeah, I just did that last this past week. And so I was like,
I do it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Then I have to go back and say, would you mind re-emailing me that information because I've lost it?
Yeah. Yeah. Or they'll call me and they'll say, hey, I sent you an email and it's been like 2 weeks. I haven't heard from you. I go, I didn't get it. And I'll check my spam and lo and behold, there it is. So
yeah, we find a lot of things in spam.
Yeah, it happens. You know, but I mean, the good news is that, you know, even when there's just the concept alone, just on based on principle, life settlements are such a conservative type of investment where people don't have to sit up all night wondering if they have anything left, you know, living on the edge of their seat, getting anxiety and heartburn from, you know, wondering if they have anything left. It's just kind of like one of those stable investments that sits in the background. You don't have to check stuff regularly except your email once in a while, and you know, you don't have to monitor it as it goes through time, because when the policy matures, you'll notify people so they can just kind of sit back, relax, enjoy their life, do whatever they do on a daily basis. And then every once in a while they get an email, hey, you've got some money, go look, and it'll be in your account tomorrow or whatever it is. And so it just seems like the whole concept as a whole is always been really easy and really conservative. But as we've gone through time, it seems like things have sped up. It seems like the whole life settlement investment as a whole has just gotten better and better and better. And so for
it is better.
Yeah. I mean, people who have sat on the sidelines maybe for a while thinking, oh, this is how it was, you know, a couple of years ago. It's really changed a lot for the better in a good way. So it might be worth, you know, getting back in.
That's right. And then the annuities are great. I mean, annuities, you just can't beat an annuity.
Yeah. And those just keep getting better, too. I mean, annuities have always been just kind of like a quiet, you know, thing that sits on the sideline and people don't really, I mean, there's not a whole lot of excitement about it. There's not reports on the news or on your phone that monitor annuities or anything like that, as far as I know. And they just kind of like sit quietly in the background, and they always have. And they've always been a great conservative investment. But with the bonuses at 14% and then 16% and now 7%. Wait, they are still at 17%, right?
As far as I know.
Okay. Didn't want to assume. But now the bonuses are at 17%. It's like, my word, that's just 17% of extra money for nothing.
That's right. Because whatever you make that year, you get it. And the bonuses are added in at the first of the year. In other words, your year starts right then. And so you get paid right then. And so then the bonus makes money during the year, too, because it's part of your money, because it's been added to your principal. And it's, you know, I love it because there's no taxes till you take it out. It's tax deferred until you write that first check and second check. You can take 10% a year out. You could say, I don't want 10, I want 4. And a lot of people do, because they want this to build up and make them, you know, the extra money that they can use later. And a lot of people have more than one 401k, like the husband has one, the wife has one, or they have an IRA. So they don't need the money right now, but they need the interest to stack it up. So they'll do it and not start taking anything out maybe for 4 years. So it works either way. If you need it the next year, you can start taking it out. And if you don't, you can let it just accumulate the interest.
So, So if it's a couple of years, say 3 or 4 years before somebody needs to start taking anything out, that's just 3 or 4 years. It's just sitting there growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Nothing's coming out. You're not losing anything. And then when you start taking it out, the great thing about annuities is that if, and I know you've got some clients that do this, probably several clients that do this, but they'll take 3 or 4% each year, and they're still growing the investment. It's not like, hey, I'm going to take some money out and then I'm just, you know, subtract that from my account. It's still growing in the background if you're smart. Now, if you take out 10% every year, it might be a little bit different. But if you take 3 or 4%, I mean, it's, you're not only reaping the rewards of the investment, it's cash you get to actually use and enjoy, but it's still growing in the background. Is that correct, or am I?
That is correct. And a lot of people tell me, hey, I don't need that much. I need, you know, $30,000 a year or $40,000. I don't need $75,000 and I don't need $100,000. And a lot of people have enough money. They could take $100,000 a year. But when you do, you don't have all that interest you would have if you just took a smaller amount and let it accumulate for 4 or 5 years, then start taking a bigger amount. And as I said, a lot of times, they don't take anything for several years. And if the wife and the husband both have a 401k, they'll take one of them and leave the other one completely alone for later in life.
Hmm. Yeah, it just seems like, I don't know, if people are looking for excitement and, you know, I mean, if you like going to the dog track, you know, and betting on horses, this is probably not the investment for you. But if you really want to grow your portfolio, not only get ready for retirement, but still make money during retirement, after retirement, and be able to enjoy the money for retirement on a daily basis. I mean, it seems like annuities are just a no-brainer for people.
They are, because you don't have to watch them. You don't have to do anything to them. They're going to put the money, your interest, in your account every year. They just automatically wire it over to your account. The interest is there, and you can go about your life. And that's what I like.
And these are fixed annuities, too. So if people just lump them in and say, oh, annuities, we're talking about fixed annuities, not variable, correct?
No, we do not do variable. Remember, a variable has mutual funds in it, and you can lose part of your portfolio.
Yeah.
So this is guaranteed. The principal's always safe, and you get your interest once a year. And it's not like a variable at all. You don't have that risk factor that you have with the variable annuity.
Yeah. The variable can basically pancake at any time. Fixed annuities, they've got that stopgap. So if something happens, there's a certain point where you still maintain your principal and you keep that intact. You don't have to worry about losing everything.
That's right, because with the stopgap, it stops it right on its feet, and it just sits there till the interest goes back up.
Is there any downside to an annuity?
Not that I know of.
Well, I can't.
We've been doing annuities for 26 years.
Oh, my word. Oh, wow.
And I think I would have heard something by now if there was a downside. And we get a copy of their portfolio every year, so we know how much money they've made. We know what they're invested in. And you can leave it alone, or you can change it every year. And sometimes they change the indexes and make them better, and that's good. You can have, it can be in a trust. It can be in a joint account. It can be in an IRA, an individual. There's just so many things you can do with annuities. And the annuity companies that we use are worth $60 billion.
Wow.
And they've been in business about 100 years.
That's a solid foundation.
As solid as I would even want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's not some little young company that's 5 or 10 years old.
Mm-mm.
And it's worth, you know, $50 million, which is nothing.
Yeah, not when it comes to something like this. And you
That's
want
right.
that foundation. I mean, you want to have the longevity. You want to make sure that, you know, things are in place. If you, there's all kinds of pop-ups that will come and go, and I'm sure we've seen it with all kinds of businesses, not just, you know, things like this, but, you know, like a restaurant or a, you know, a, I don't know, any kind of a business, they may come in, you know, into the neighborhood and all of a sudden they're there for a while, and then if they don't make it in a couple of years, they close and they're gone. But when you have the longevity like you're talking about, that means something and it says something. It's
And remember, you don't have hamburgers to sell or anything like that. It's not a retail business, so that's what makes it safe.
Yeah. Yeah. The overhead is you know, you're not dealing with products and stuff like that. So
you're out of the retail business, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And anytime you deal with a life insurance product, you know, they have the reserves on hand. So you don't have to worry about that. I'm hesitant to say this because I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong. But if don't they have to have the resources on hand
at all times
in case?
And years ago, banks could invest in things they couldn't invest in because it's a different situation. Since it's a contract, you have to have money there to pay them. When it comes due, you can't say, well, this week we had a bad week. We'll pay you next week. It's not that way. When you send in a death certificate, they have to have the millions of dollars right then to pay. And that's why they're audited by state and federal every year.
It kind of seems like that's maybe the common thread. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that's the common thread between annuities and life settlements, is that the fact that they do have the resources on hand and it is government regulated. And so you don't have to worry about, oh, is my money even still there? Or did somebody take off with it and go buy jets and mansions and things
that's
like
right.
that?
And they have to have, as I said, audited statements every year. The state comes in to audit them. Federal comes in and audits them. They always want to make sure how solid the insurance companies are.
Hmm. Yeah, they're very different than a bank. And speaking of banks, another thing, here's something else I want to throw in. Another thing is that if people just leave their money in, say, a regular bank, and they say, okay, that's where I'm going to leave my money. I'm not going to invest or anything. That's fine. It's not going to do anything. It's barely going to even grow or anything at all. But now don't correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you say that if when people have their money at Nevada Trust, it earns four?
Usually it's about four. Sometimes it's gotten down as low as three. But you can go in and look at any time and see what you're getting.
But it's earning something. And so, I mean,
it's a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
And if your money's been with us 10 years or 5 years, you've got quite a bit of interest.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
And when you have an account at the bank, it's just an account, unless you do a money market or savings or something else. And this is just in a checking account.
Yeah.
And it makes that kind of interest.
I mean, it's obviously not as great as if you're investing, because that's the whole point, is to be investing. But I mean, even if you're not, you're still doing better than you would at the quote regular bank. So I don't know. It's just there's so many upsides. You were talking about the flexibility with annuities a minute ago. And I almost wonder if sometimes people think annuities are just one of those things where you just set it and forget it. You don't have to think about it. It could be. But if, you know, say, I don't know, you have somebody listed as a beneficiary and there's the family argument and there's a falling out and you want to change that, you can do it. You're not like locked in forever. It's like, well, once you said it, there you're stuck. You can change those things on a regular basis, which
and
is
I
nice.
Like it for widows, too, because if you die and you leave it to your wife, nobody's going to steal it from her because it's in an annuity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a payout. She can take the payout if she doesn't need a lump sum, and she's safe. Her money's safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have many people? I don't know how to phrase this, but do you have many people who, I don't know, do either a joint annuity, or they're at least informed, or is it really kind of a separate, like, say, like the husband will open annuities, get in annuities, have a whole thing, and the wife doesn't really know? It's just all of a sudden a surprise.
Well, it's like this. If the husband has a 401k or an IRA, he'll talk to his wife about where he wants to move his money and to be safe and to give them income the rest of the time, especially if they're retiring. And then they'll come over together, and then he does the annuity with us, and she's the beneficiary. Then the kids are the second, third beneficiary, and it works out real well. Now, sometimes the wife works too. She'll go on working after he sets up his annuity, and then they'll save hers back and won't use it, probably won't use it for 5 or 6 years. Mm. So that's the way it works. Now, we've had some people that the wife wasn't interested in how it works. She just wanted him to do it. So he would come in by himself. We'd explain it. He'd do it. But usually the wife comes with him. Then he does all the paperwork, makes her the beneficiary, and it works out real well.
So let me ask you this then. For an annuity, you had said that sometimes, you know, the husband will do it, the wife will do it, but she may not need it for 4 or 5 years. Does it have to be that close to retirement, or can you start an annuity 10, 15, 20
years?
You can
start it before if you've got, you know, enough money to put in an annuity. Hmm. And some people may have savings. They'll put the savings in annuity now, and then 4 or 5 years, they'll move the other money.
Okay, because I know,
or they may, some companies will let you move it before you retire, but usually you have to be with them at least 15 years before you can transfer it.
Okay. It seems like you've had in the last couple of weeks several people that have called and started annuities. I'm just wondering in general where they are in their life cycle.
Oh, they're retiring. They're retiring now.
Oh, so they're right up on it.
We got it started 2 months before and had it ready. And then when the company said, this is your last day, take your money and go. So then they transferred at that time. The cash is actually transferred to our annuity companies.
Gotcha. Okay, so that was just pretty much preliminary work. So the day they retired, just basically push the button and
that's right. And sometimes HR department gets it messed up, and it takes another week or two. Mm. If they get it messed up, we have to go back in and go over it with them and show them how we're doing it and remind them how the paperwork works.
Okay. Ideally, how do, for new investors who've never done anything like this, we're presenting two different options for conservative investments to make sure that people are ready for retirement and then continue to be making money even after retirement without having to worry about losing everything and going back to work at age 75. So for somebody who's never done this before, what would be an ideal, like age-wise, which investment is best for people at different stages of life?
Well, you know, if you're 45, 50 years old and you've got a nice nest egg, now would be a good time to start. But a lot of people start when they know they're going to retire in 60 days.
Hmm. Okay.
And it depends. The wife may not be retiring. We may do something different with her account than we do with his.
Okay. And that's for annuities. What about life settlements?
Okay. Life settlements, is a little longer term, because when we do one, you're going to make 28-30%. They made 40% on that one the other day. They don't all make 40%. And the way that worked is you start it 2 years ago or three, and you know what you're going to make. You know that the insurance company will pay you when the people die, and we have a set amount you're going to make going in. So, you know, if it's 30%, 35, 37, you know what you're going to get when the guy dies. So you sit there and wait for it. And it takes longer to get your money back, but it pays more. Hmm. You know, it's going to pay 27, 30%. And that's in the contract. And you know when he dies that Nevada Trust takes over. They get the death certificate. They do everything. We never touch your money. The money goes to Nevada Trust. It sits there, and we have escrow accounts for you there. And, you know, we have about $98 million invested for people, which is quite a bit.
It is.
And so, anyway, when they die and we notify you, then the company, Nevada Trust, takes over. They get the death certificate in. And then the company, whatever insurance company it is, they notify when they're paying. And they tell them, we're sending you a check for $3 million today. And then that we send them the list of everybody that's in that policy. So they know right then who they have to pay. So then we tell the people, the money will be in your account on Wednesday. So then the check comes, Nevada Trust deposit it in their main account. Then they start paying out. So then they pay everybody into their account. So we never touch the money. We never have.
Okay.
So that's what makes it a safe investment, just like an annuity.
I'm going to try because I know we explain this a lot every week, and we go over the data and the numbers and how each investment works. I'm going to try to summarize this in two sentences. Correct me if I'm wrong, because there's a good chance I might blow this. So,
okay,
life settlements have longer terms when you can get paid. You have to wait a little longer for the policy to mature, but the profit margins are bigger, whereas annuities, maybe profit margins might be a little lower, but they're consistent.
That's exactly right.
All right. I didn't practice.
I mean, you got it.
I made that up off the top of my head. So.
Okay. Well, we always say is focus.
Ooh, that took a lot of brain power to get that out.
Yeah.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
It's Eugene Lucas. You've probably never heard of him.
No.
He was born in 1900. He died in 1972. But his stage name was Gene Austin. He was an American singer, songwriter. He started real early. And his claim to fame, as far as I'm concerned, is the first record he made was My Blue Heaven. Now, nobody remembers him as being the author of that. Everybody thought it was Frank Sinatra, somebody, you know, in the 60s. But My Blue Heaven sold 5 million copies.
Wow!
It was the largest selling record of all time.
Oh, my word.
And this is early. And the other one, 1921, was When My Sugar Walks Down the Street. You remember that one?
I don't, no.
How about Lonesome Road?
Yes, now that I do.
That was one of his songs.
Really?
Yes, and he had more. What do you think his lifetime number of records were?
I don't know. After that first one, I'm not really sure. I'm afraid to guess.
80 million.
No.
$80 million.
I was going to guess 3 or 4.
Oh, no, he did that like in a heartbeat. Now, he was born in Gainesville, Texas, but he took the name of Gene Austin from his stepfather. His stepfather was a blacksmith. And then he grew up in Minden, Louisiana, and that's where he learned to play piano and guitar. Now, he ran away from home at 15. He attended a vaudeville act in Houston, and the audience said, all of you amateurs come up here that want to, and we'll let you sing. Well, these other little boys said, go on up there. So it was the first time he'd ever been on stage. He sang for the first time since singing as a Southern Baptist choir boy. I love that about this story.
That's all it took.
Yeah, that's all it took. Now, the audience response was overwhelming. And the vaudeville company said, look, we'd like to bill you and put you on a ticket right now. He said, no. He wanted to join the army at the age of 15. He wanted to go to Europe to fight in World War I.
What? Really?
And they, yeah. And they, at 15, he got in. Nobody believed his age, so he faked it. So he was stationed in New Orleans, and they played the pin at night in the notorious Vice District. He was down there where it was rough. And since he'd been with his stepfather and learned all about horses, and his stepfather, as I said, was in the blacksmith, and he went to the army, and they assigned him to the cavalry. And then this is one of the best parts of the story. They sent him to Mexico with Major General John Pershing.
Ooh.
And they were after Pancho Villa.
No, really?
Yes, that's his claim to fame. And he was awarded the Mexican Service Medal. And then he went to, he served in France in World War I. This is how far back this young man went. But he was very famous. And all these songs I thought were from the 50s and 60s, it was songs that he did. And after, and he came back from the war in 1919. And he settled in Baltimore, Maryland. And he was studying dentistry and law. Well, that, you know, that didn't work out.
No.
So he started playing piano and singing in taverns. And he was writing stories and writing songs. And did you know he could not read music?
Really?
The boy couldn't even read music. But it was, it's amazing what all he could do. You know, he could sing, he could write music. And he had the biggest record sales of anybody back in his day.
Wow. I'm shocked. I'm seriously, the, like, every step or every stage of his life, it's just an unexpected left turn out of nowhere.
It is, and he was so brilliant. And he, when he did Lonesome Road, My Blue Heaven, as I said, Riding Around in the Rain, and Ramona. Do you remember the song Ramona? I remember that so well. They used it in a lot of movies.
I'm sure I would as soon as I heard it, but for some reason the title's not ringing a bell with me.
Well, it was in several movies. Now, he had a pianist. His name was Fats Waller. And he told everybody, I will only do a song if he accompanied to me. He never let anybody else play the piano for him.
Did that just have a vibe or what?
Apparently so. And he substituted for some other guys that were famous that their recordings didn't sound right. And he would do that for them too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And do you remember the song, Yes, That's My Baby?
Yeah.
That's one of his songs.
Really?
Yeah.
I know this is going to be a dumb question, but did he just write these for other people to record, or did he
He recorded them.
Really?
But then he did some for some other people. Now, in 1926, he did Bye Bye Blackbird.
Oh.
And I never thought he did that one, because I saw it in several movies in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. I would have never, I didn't know that half of these songs went that far back.
And My Blue Heaven was charted for 26 weeks and number one.
Wow. His version?
Yes, and it sold 5 million copies.
that's
and he sold the most records of all time until Bing Crosby's White Christmas replaced him.
Wow.
But all those years, nobody could do what he was doing.
The strange thing is that when I'm thinking about songs like My Blue Heaven and some of these other ones, it just seems like they don't sound like they go that far back. They sound like something from the 50s or 60s, as far as like the style and all that.
Maybe but they were in the 30s.
I'm shocked.
I was talking about Ramona. Dolores Del Rio starred in that movie where they used that song.
Wow. I don't remember that for some reason. I'm not sure why.
And it charted for 17 weeks, number one. And it topped 1 million in sales also.
See, now I'm ashamed to admit that. I don't remember it.
Yeah. And in 1928, he also did Carolina Moon.
Really?
and it was on the chart 14 weeks with 7 weeks at number one.
Golly.
Then the Depression came, and that took care of all this glory he was doing.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And when he retired to Palm Springs, and he ran for governor, I think, of Nevada. And he didn't win, but he darn sure did. And another famous deal, you remember Colonel Tom Parker, Elvis's manager?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he gradually worked his way into the music business, and he began to promote Gene Austin in 1938.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then in the 40s, him and his singers toured the U.S. in a 14-truck caravan. They had their own power plant and cookhouse.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
What? Are you serious?
They had their own cookhouse back then.
I can picture this in my head, and it's more like
that far back.
It's weird.
And they said, because of all of his recordings and his music, later crooners like Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and Russ Colombo all credit Austin with creating their careers. He began their careers.
You don't always think about who, like Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and people like that. You don't always think about who they looked up to, because it's just, for some reason, it's almost like before they came along, there wasn't anybody to look up to, without realizing that, you know, people like Gene Austin were writing all these songs and having all these sales for records and having that kind of impact on people. I don't.
Yeah, 80 million. I mean, that just blew my mind.
I mean, that's a big number for now, but for then.
But then, I mean, it was really big.
Yeah.
I didn't even know people hardly knew what a record was back
then. I know
then.
It. It's like, did they even have the? I mean, you have to wonder at some point, you know, were record players and things, were they that common or back then?
I wondered about that.
I don't know. Because, who must have been, because, you know, more record players than I thought.
And it said, Jimmy Rogers, you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He considered Austin his idol and contributed to the birth of country music.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm just...
And My Blue Heaven, of course, was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame.
Was it really?
And his 1926 Victor recording of Bye-Bye Blackbird was inducted to the Grammy Hall of Fame as well.
Wow.
And it just amazes me. He stayed with RCA Victor from the first till he stopped.
Really?
Most never went. No, most of them, as they grow in the music business, they keep trying somebody new. But he never did that. He stayed with R.C. Victor, and he talked about the Victor talking machine.
The Victor talking machine.
And how about, yes, sir, that's my baby.
Oh, yeah. I guess for some reason in my brain, and I'm probably weird and probably the only one thinks this, but it's almost like before like the 40s, I almost think like there wasn't really organized music.
That's right. I mean, and you know, I mean, there he was in different places, and, you know, then he finally went to New York.
Jeez. Are just, and the amount of people that he had an influence on. I mean, it sounds like he not only influenced a few artists here and there, but it sounds like he almost changed the trajectory of the music business, or maybe was
he influenced, they said, all these singers that were to come after him.
Yeah.
Because of all he could do, the writing and the songs that he sang.
Yeah, I almost want to take it because, I mean, before then you had, you know, people that would sing and stuff, but it would be like, you know, a guy on a horse or, you know, something like that. It's not really like a quote-unquote business before that, but it almost seems like with his success, it kind of shaped music as a business as a whole.
I think it has shaped the entire country as far as music.
Yeah. I'm a little bit ashamed of myself that I haven't ever thought about how the music business even started. I know that's not his claim to fame, but it seems like that's really kind of where things, I guess, became organized in a thing. I didn't realize
it's where it became a big business. Yeah. And it started out very small.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, if somebody was
in Minden, Louisiana, I mean, you know, that's and then to run away from home at 15.
Yeah,
I mean, and I can't imagine.
I mean, he's got an offer to sign on the spot, and says, no, I want to go and fight in World War I.
He wanted to go to the Army. Yeah, we're going to World War I. And he later did go to France and served.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the story about Poncheville, I think, is just the greatest story in the whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, General John Pershing?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so impressed by that he would have even met the general.
Yeah. You threw and that name out. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and they said, we're going to go at Poncheville. I mean, he could tell that story forever.
Yeah. He's like, you know, something big's fixing to happen.
That's right. And then the Mexicans gave him the Mexican Service Medal. And then he finally went to France for World War I.
Wow.
I mean, this guy did a lot before he started recording and singing.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd already done a lot.
I'm a little bit in shock that there is so much influence by somebody that probably most of us have never even heard of.
That's what I thought. I said, you know, he did all this, and I thought our modern singers recorded these songs. I really did.
Yeah.
Because all of them were in movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they were so popular. And Bye-Bye Blackbird, you know, I saw that in a movie, and it was a big movie.
Yeah.
So I was shocked to find out he recorded that, and I never would have known.
I mean, you almost, I guess sometimes I just assumed, I didn't spend much time thinking about it, but I assumed that a lot of these songs were written specifically for the movie, not realizing that they were actually written decades before, and it just, they fit without, yeah, it's like it was specifically
written. And he made a few movies, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
he made a few movies.
Wow. Why not throw another career in there, too, on top of it?
Yeah, Belle of the 90s, Klondike Annie, Sadie McKee, Songs and Saddles in 38, and My Little Chickadee at the request of his friend, Mac West. Wanted him to do that. That was 1940.
Wow. It's like when people like Gene Austin come along, it's like, do they plan this out? Because it seems like they just like go through life and things just like fall in place. Without like, I'm going to do this career trajectory and I'm going to put all this, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. It's just like they kind of like bumble through life and like stumble on these big things.
That's right. And to do 80 million records.
Wow.
That's just above my head.
Yeah. Especially back then. I mean, if you did that now, that's a big deal. But to do it back then, I didn't even know those kind of numbers existed. I didn't even know that was possible. So it goes against all of my logic and all of my senses. So.
And of course, he hadn't sang since the Southern Baptist Choir Boy, you know. That was the first time he'd sang since being in the choir.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a pretty big gap.
That's right. That's a big deal.
During that time, it's not like he's sitting there honing his craft and learning to sing more and better. And he's just doing other things.
Yeah. And, you know, vaudeville people said, we want to hire you right now. We'll put you on a bill spot on our ticket.
Yeah.
No, I want to go to the Army at 15.
Oh, geez. Most people would have jumped at a chance like that in a heartbeat without thinking about it. And he said, no.
They would have, especially at 15 years old.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a young boy.
Yeah. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, I was going to say I have a whole new respect for Gene Austin, but I didn't even know who he was 20 minutes ago.
That's right. You didn't even know him. You didn't know that Bye Bye Blackbird and all these really wonderful songs that he did him.
Not a clue. I have
and
respect
what
for
I
him.
I thought
now.
Today it was so funny. I said, I found this week, and I said, nobody's going to believe he did Bye Bye Blackbird and My Blue Heaven and all these others.
Yeah. I'm a whole new world's been opened to me for sure. Okay, so before we wrap up, life settlements, there are a couple of risks that people do need to know about. Yes, it's a super conservative investment, but there are a couple of things that you should know going in. So what's the first risk?
You should know that you do not get your money till it matures. When the person dies, you get paid like everybody else. The other thing is, if it goes over, you would have to pay premiums. You need to know how much the premium is going in. It's usually maybe 1% less, or maybe 1.5%. It's a very small amount, or we don't do it. We learned the hard way. The premiums have got to be small. So we tell you about that, and then you must be accredited. You cannot do a life settlement if you're not accredited. To be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay.
And that's a government regulation.
Yeah, it's not a Fay rule or anything like that.
No.
It's government stuff. So with annuities, there's not quite as much of a, I don't want to call it a rigid requirement, but it's much easier to start an annuity, right?
It is. The requirements aren't as high. You do not have to be accredited. You have to have money in savings or bank account. You have to have money that they can see every month that you can pay your bills and have money in the bank.
Okay. And that's really about it. And like we were saying before, we can't think of any downside to an annuity at all that we can think of. So, you know, it's a pretty solid investment. And with the bonuses now up to 17%, it's just extra money on top of money. So now they've literally never been better than they are right now. So, all right. So, Faye, for one last time, if anybody is interested in either more information, or if they're just ready to get started or wanting to figure out what to do as they get closer to retirement, they do need to call you. So one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. There's a lot of good things on the website.